Next on BYUSN, which games on BYU football's Big 12 schedule do we think are the toughest this season? We'll unveil our rankings of BYU's Big 12 contest from toughest to easiest in 2025. Plus, Chris Benini of The Athletic details why the Big 12 has an argument to be the toughest conference in America and what his expectations are for the Cougars this year.
Drake Toll of Locked On Big 12 joins the show. Preview the Big 12 football season. And who do we think will be BYU football's biggest X factor in 2025?
Should we have called it the Y factor? I mean, I know that's... we probably should have discussed that before the show as opposed to once the show began.
Yeah, a lot of things happen once the show
begins. That's right. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Wednesday, July 16th. My name is Jason Shepherd. This is a man who's still waiting for his billboard in Times Square, Dave McCann.
I've been to Times Square. I've had a Big Mac in Times Square. As everyone does.
You go to New York
for fancy
bucks?
Food, and you're like, well, we're here. Hey, there's a McDonald's. Let's just go
get it.
So we all do that.
We went to Popeye's.
AJ DeBonsa has had a billboard up in Times Square. And there he is. And he's got his phone number up there. We don't believe it's his home phone number, but...
Isn't that a 1-800? So I'm pretty sure it's not his actual cell phone number.
So, he's in Boston, and he's in New York before he comes back out this way. And, man, he gets around.
How cool is that? So I was in Times Square like a month ago.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome to be able to see that billboard. But just taking that shot alone, you've got a billboard in Times Square, one of the busiest places on this planet. And you've got AJ DeBonsa wearing BYU gear on a billboard. How cool is that?
And then he's going to take the boys back there and play in Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
In December. We're in uncharted waters, and we're all swimming. It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU, Texas Tech, Colorado, Baylor, Iowa State.
There's so much parity in this conference.
Someone's going to show up that you don't expect.
Hard not to be excited about the Big 12 opener.
BYU is absolutely a quarterback away from being an obvious pick here.
Well, we've known what the schedule is for a little while now, but which games on BYU's schedule are the toughest, specifically within the Big 12? We narrowed this down because we figure if you're going to do a list, and everybody loves a list these days.
We do love lists.
We do love lists. We figure that most people would put the non-conference games down, towards the end, 10, 11, 12. So we sort of eliminated the non-conference games, just focusing on the conference games. And what we're doing is which ones we think are the easiest, which ones we think are the hardest. And so, Dave, let us reveal your list. And we are starting with number one being the hardest game.
With Kansas State and Iowa State starting practice today for the new season. That's how close we are. So here comes my list. Number one, I've got Utah as the most difficult. Why the Utes? There's just so much riding on this. So BYU's taken over recruiting. They're dwarfing them in fundraising. All the advantages Utah had as a member of the Pac-12 when BYU was an independent, the Cougars have wiped out in 2 years. They've also won the last two. So the Utes are bringing everything down here. There's more than just a football game on the line in October. And that's why I've got that as the toughest. Just everything tied into it. BYU's a better football team, I believe, but once you throw everything else in, that's just a tough night. And then we go at, I think on the road is just a tough place. So I've got a run of road games. At Texas Tech, hadn't been there since I think the 50s. At Iowa State, we know Iowa State is supposed to be pretty good. We're going to watch them on August 23rd against Kansas State over in Ireland. I think the Colorado game, I've got them at number four. That's just going to be bananas.
Yeah.
And whoever the quarterback is, that's going to be his first real intense moment. So I've got them at four. Arizona on the road, again, on the road, I think that moves it up a little bit. TCU, West Virginia, UCF, all those teams could beat BYU. BYU could beat all those teams. And then Cincinnati there at the bottom. I feel bad for the Bearcats at the bottom because that's a road game. But when you stack it all up, that's my list from toughest to easiest, and for the lack of a better word, there are no easy games.
Correct.
In the Big 12.
Yeah.
But I'm starting with Utah as the toughest. What do you got?
Yeah, so I'm pleased and also a little surprised that we did not have more similarities in our list. We very
well, you're a Cardinals fan.
Well,
and I'm a Cubs fan. It can't
and again,
be the
I appreciate the no texts over the last couple of weeks because things have not gone well in our head-to-head matchups.
It's a long season.
But our rankings are quite different.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually kind of exciting because I did not have Utah number one. In fact, I actually have Utah number three on my list.
Did I not convince you to move it up?
You did not. And some of this may just be principle and not wanting to give them, you know, any satisfaction.
All right, because it's a personal list.
But in all honesty, I really don't believe it is. I actually believe they are the third toughest game on the schedule. And I start on the road. I start at Iowa State. I believe that is BYU's toughest game of the season. You're going to a place that's very difficult to play. Iowa State's going to be good. You have Rocco Beck back as your quarterback. We know what type of, even though he's lost his top two receivers to the NFL, this is a guy that you know can cause some problems. So for me, Iowa State on the road is the toughest game on BYU's schedule. I'm like you, though. I stay out on the road. Going to Texas Tech, a place BYU hasn't played in a while, we know the type of money that Texas Tech has invested into this program.
If you're looking for a toy department, they got all the new stuff.
Now, that doesn't always mean that you have results to the level that you wanted, but they have certainly given their football program every benefit possible in terms of talent and monetary evaluations to be able to funnel into the program.
Listen, money can't buy you happiness, but you can get a left tackle.
You can certainly get a left tackle. So I went at Iowa State, at Texas Tech to start things off. Then I have Utah. For most of the reasons that you mentioned, I've got them, and even though it is a home game, you just never know. How many times do we talk about how close these games are and they come down to the final play? I think we just expect that's the way these games are going to go. So I have it at number three. Then I have TCU. And TCU to me is a little bit of an enigma in this conference. I don't really know what to expect, but I know what type of offensive power they can bring. Yeah. Their quarterback, Hoover, can sling it. And so I've got them at number four. I've got at Colorado at number five, then home for West Virginia, and then at Arizona. At Cincinnati, I do not have as the quote-unquote easiest. I have UCF at home.
Okay. Yeah,
final regular season game.
Cold.
And you've got a team from Orlando coming across the country in late November to play BYU at home. Good luck, Knights.
Here's why I'm optimistic about these two lists, is that BYU has one of the top defenses in the league, if not the best. And defense travels. And so on the road are super tough. At home, we saw last year, super tough. You can lose at home. Kansas came in and beat BYU. Yeah. But the defense gives you a chance to win in any of these venues. And so when we go toughest to easiest in a league where there really isn't any easy ones, and there are a whole lot of tough ones, the fact that you've got the defense and the best kicker in the league is going to keep you in every one of those games. And that's why I think, in general, BYU fans are optimistic, even though they don't know who the quarterback is.
Right. Well, and you look at us doing this list now, and let's go back in time, get back in the DeLorean and head back a year ago when we were looking at the schedule, and you would have thought, okay, well, BYU is really going to struggle against K-State.
How are they going to get to six wins?
Yeah, like, oh, the game at Arizona State, well, they're picked last in the conference.
That's a win.
Yeah, so it really is, you just sort of throw it up in the air and you hope that you're right where everything lands.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I agree with you. Even though we look at some of these and go, okay, well, that's a win. You still have to go out and perform on the field.
Still going Utah toughest, because that's also the most emotional.
I have them as the toughest home game.
Yeah.
Does that count for something?
That counts for third on your list.
Yes, third on my list.
ESPN college football writers named a player that they believe is the X factor. We'll call it the Y factor because we pivot on this show. Mm-hmm. The X factor for teams in their preseason top 25 rankings. They still have BYU in their top 25 based on coming out of spring. We'll see how it adjusts when the new one comes out. But for the Cougars, they list Ciale Ecera at linebacker as the Y factor.
Mm-hmm.
So who is your Y factor for 2025?
I am going to go on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say Carson Ryan.
Okay.
And for a couple of reasons. I've mentioned this a couple of times. You know as well.
There he is.
Look, they're looking right at us. You know as well as I do, coaches do not like to single guys out very much.
Right.
But you've heard Kalani Sitake mention Carson Ryan's name quite a bit this year. That lets me know how highly he thinks of him. And We're at the time of the year where we're all wondering what type of role the tight ends are going to have. I think we all expect there to be more tight end production this year. And so I think that zeroes in right at Carson Ryan. They brought him in from Utah to be a playmaker. And I think he, along with Chase Roberts, that when you're in a pinch and you need that one catch to keep that drive going, I think those are the guys that whoever the quarterback is going to be looking at. So for me, and the production that I hope and expect out of the tight ends, I'm going with Carson Ryan as my X/Y factor.
It'll be interesting to see how he's used by the new quarterbacks.
Right.
Because a tight end is your get-out-of-jail-free guy. Can be your best friend. And as you look back at this history of BYU tight ends, some that have put up massive numbers, they were still, you know, if Trouble Max is going, where's Dennis? You know, and John and Ty and Steve and Jim, you just go back to it. They always knew where their tight end was.
Right.
And the receivers were good too, but it was like, well, I've got to have a, you know, on the play in the Holiday Bowl where BYU went back on the field where Jim didn't want to punt, he threw a 6-yard pass to Clay Brown for a first down. And then later was the Hail Mary. But none of that happens without a 6-yard pass to Clay Brown. The tight ends are the best friends of the quarterback.
Well, and we really have not seen them utilize the way that we historically have, really, since Isaac Rex's freshman season.
Yeah, before Isaac got hurt, we had a tight end. And ever since then, that position has been, you know, like a watered-down soda. It's still out there, but it doesn't have the and I agree with you. They believe that number 20 here can bring that back.
Okay, so who is your ex?
I'm going to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to go with Tanner Wall, the safety, the quarterback of the defense, the quarterback of the best defense in the league, at least statistically, and the best defense from last year. So his job is to make sure everything, the trains run on time. You over here, right? We changed this call. He's the quarterback back there, and he's primed for a big year. Last year, his group on defense had 22 interceptions, the most in the country, tied with Texas, you know, after the bowl season. And then they came up with fumbles, some took back for touchdowns. Prassis, you know, we'll never forget that one against Kansas State. The defense was solid, 19.6 points a game. They put pressure on the quarterback. They wreak havoc. And part of Jay Hill's strategy is to wreak havoc and chaos. And then you got the guys in the secondary waiting for the bad passes from a quarterback who has lost his mind. And that's Tanner Wall. And Tanner Wall, I think, is the Y factor this year. It's easy to say Jack Kelly or Glasgow or Tanavasa or whatever. But who's the cog that's really going to make it go? I'm going all the way back to the safety spot.
Yeah, I like that pick. I'm a huge fan of Tanner Wall. I like it. I like it. Certainly love him on the field, but I like him as a person. He's great to talk to. He actually, if you want to hear a conversation with Tanner, he's going to guest on the Deep Blue podcast that I do.
That header right there, Stonewall.
He's fantastic. And look, there's going to be, because you lost some corners there, you know, the fact that you do have a little bit more stability and continuity at the safety position, I think that can help out that situation. But I do like that pick. I want to go back to how we started this conversation because, as we mentioned, as you read, the ESPN College Football writers named Cialeus Serra as their pick for the X Factor. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting because I think they go, hey, we know what Kelly's going to give and what Glasser's going to give, and Taggart's not there, so here's the new guy. And so if he is at the same level of Taggart, and they believe that he will be, if not even better, then the three-headed monster is right back. And that linebacking core wreaked havoc on the Big 12 last year.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see. I don't expect a drop-off whatsoever at the linebacker position. You already mentioned the guys out on each side of Cialeus Serra. And a couple of weeks ago, Spencer and I were doing the show, and the question that we were discussing during trending was the underrated player. And Cialeus Serra was Spencer's choice for the most underrated player because he knows, certainly, like you said, you're losing Harrison Taggart. And Harrison Taggart's production was impressive. But I believe that you can get similar, if not better, production from Cialeus Serra in that role this season. And look, BYU, if you're If you're a linebacker at BYU, history and tradition is on your side that you're going to play well. They have just figured out how to get linebackers into this program that are absolute playmakers.
And it's safe to assume that Sierra was going to start ahead of Taggart anyway.
Yeah.
Was going to win that job, which may have been the reason Taggart's like, I'm going to look elsewhere. I want a guaranteed spot. So many guys want guaranteed spots.
Yeah.
So it's very realistic to assume that quarterback battle is Jay Hill doesn't promise any spots. And if Acera really is this guy coming on, he was going to come on and take that position anyway.
Yeah.
So he's not getting it by default. You know, because Taggart's out, Sierra's in. He might have been in anyway.
Yeah.
And that makes that linebacking group pretty solid.
Well, let's get your take on this. It's our question of the day. Who is your X factor for BYU football in 2025?
Well,
we will
like
start on X from at Jason Gustafson. He goes with JoJo Phillips.
Yeah.
I like that one. Like Mitch Matthews said, he should be tapping his helmet on every day with Chase Roberts being the defensive focus. So, you know, you got a guy like Chase Roberts who is certainly going to draw attention, and guys like JoJo and Parker Kingston and Cody Hagans, those guys can – Tiger Bachmeyer.
Yep.
Those guys can all reap the benefits of everybody paying attention to Chase Roberts.
Yeah, I like that one. JoJo Phillips. Keeter's dude on X, Keanu Tanevasa. Haven't had a game-changing defensive lineman like him since Kyle Van Noy. Hoping he lives up to the hype. We've already heard some position coaches and coordinators think that he could be the best defensive lineman in the country before the season's out.
Yeah, I think his addition is going to be – could significantly change how the defensive line has played. Now, whether or not that results in sacks, I don't know. But
Havoc, for sure.
Havoc, for sure. Pressure, for sure. And even if it's not the D-line that gets the sacks, it may help the linebackers be able to get to the quarterback. So I expect those numbers to go up. At Sammy J. Dot on X, Sione Moa, we saw flashes last season, and he's positioned for a huge breakout year. You can continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Moa was cruising until he got hurt, wasn't he? And LJ's healthy and charging in, which he wasn't at the start of last season. And so those two running backs are going to be powerful things. And Moa could be the Y factor coming in. All right, let's shift to basketball. Cal Baptist announcing yesterday. I love it when the other teams announce. They're playing BYU in a non-conference game at the Delta Center on December 3rd. And Cougar fans, the first thing is, what? That's the third game of the Delta Center. Why are we going to the Delta Center? Well, December 3rd, Christmas around the world, is in the Marriott Center. So no one's in the Marriott Center.
And you'll be performing at that.
They can't play in the Annex. So they're going to play at their home away from home. It's their third game in Salt Lake City. I don't know how the Utes feel about that. But here come the Cougars and the road show that's with them. So here is what the non-conference schedule looks like so far. All of this reported from someone here and there. But exhibitions with Nebraska and North Carolina, the Tar Heels at the Delta Center on October 24th, a week before Halloween. And then the season, Villanova in Vegas on November 3rd, UConn's in Boston, Wisconsin's at the Delta Center. Then they go back to that holiday tournament over Thanksgiving in Orlando. Cal Baptist, Clemson in New York, and then Delaware, Eastern Washington, Holy Cross, Pacific, South Dakota, and UC Riverside. Those last six or seven are like, what? Okay. But you've got to have those if you're going to play the others.
Yeah.
So how do you fill out the balance?
I like it. And I'm like you. One of the first things that stands out is you've got three games at the Delta Center, which obviously anytime BYU plays at the Delta Center, it's a home game. It is always pro BYU. The environment is cool, and you know these players love an opportunity to play on an NBA court. They're going to get a chance, you know, playing UConn in Boston. And so, I mean, they at Madison Square Garden, of course.
Look, they're trying to get AJ and Richie ready for the NBA.
That's
so
right.
Let's play on those floors.
Absolutely. Look, and I think that's one of those things that you kind of wonder. So is this the blueprint for what we'll see moving forward in terms of this many MTEs and your high-profile games in non-conference will all be MTEs? Or is this sort of a unique one-off because you have the potential number one pick and you have all these high-profile players? I'm curious how much of this model we see moving forward, or is it somewhat of a unique situation?
I think BYU can play their way into more kinds of games like this by going there, selling tickets, and performing well. But this feels like the AJ Roadshow, especially a couple of games. UConn back in the Celtics arena and Madison Square Garden. Those games appear, you've got the number one player in the world, you know, in college. We want a piece of you. So then that's on Kevin Young and his staff to go and keep getting these kind of guys that TV goes, hey, we want to see you and we want to see you against them.
Yeah.
But this year is such a unique year. I kind of believe that we're along for a ride that we haven't seen before. We might not see again. We'll just see how it goes.
And because you know the type of teams and exposure that will be coming into the Marriott Center through conference play, you can then go and get Holy Cross, Pacific, UC Riverside, some of these teams to fill out your non-conference home schedule because you know that you've got Big 12 teams coming in throughout late December, January, and February.
What we did see is not only did Kevin Young stack up his roster, they went to the schedule and did it just opposite of last year. They're playing games that will give them, win or lose, give them RPI strength heading into what we believe is still one of the toughest, if not the toughest, basketball league in the country. And you still have your games where you've got to practice. You've got to do something. It can't be UConn every night. UConn doesn't play UConn every night. But there's a handful of games that just weren't there last year. And part of it is because of the roster. But another part of it is Kevin Young's got to put a schedule together every year that helps him in March.
Yes.
And if it's a difference between a 6 seed and a 3 or a 4 seed, then you make those changes early in the year and play these teams.
Yeah, it's the football season we're always excited for. And this year's basketball team, I have never seen an excitement level for BYU hoops like we've seen now, ever. It's through the roof, and I cannot wait for basketball season.
Let's go. Hey, join us on Friday. We've got something new here we're working on, a BYU Sports Nation special, looking back at Cougar football success during the 90s. Remembering the 90s airs Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Yeah, Ty was here in the 90s. Quite a ride.
All right, coming up, he's in studio, Drake Toll of Locked On Big 12 and Locked On Big 12 podcast. He's going to join us live in Studio B to help preview the 2025 Big 12 football season. It's coming up next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The pulse of this conference is very different.
There's a lot of talent in the Big 12. This is big boy football.
Listen, I think BYU credentializes this conference.
That defense and Jay Hill running it. Extreme confidence. That's a loaded room.
Motivation is high for this Cougar team.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play alongside Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd. We've moved over to the comfy seats. We're relaxing a little bit because we have a very special guest in Studio B. He is the host of the Locked On Big 12 podcast. What is this? Is this your second time on campus? Second or third time on campus?
I've been here like 9 times.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
Drake Toll joining us here in Studio B. Welcome.
Gosh, it's crazy that I have the hot seat here. Like, you guys get to hold hands over there, and I just have to sit all the I feel like I'm interrogation room.
It is. It's like an interrogation.
You're the guest.
I came in wearing my airport outfit, my shorts. I'm so underdressed, and now I got the hot seat.
That's right. He didn't wear socks, so.
Oh, I have socks. They're just, low profile.
The ballerina socks, which is worse than not wearing them, arguably.
Okay, so here's my first question to you. For those that follow you on social media, they may have already seen some of this. So, Drake, Cosmo, jet skis, Utah Lake. Explain.
I don't know how much of this I can divulge, right? This is top secret. Like, it's lock and key. But we are, yesterday, with the Explore Utah Valley folks who had me out, like, hey, come see what it's like to do a game day at BYU if you're a fan. You know, tailgating, going to Sundance, visiting local spots and ziplining or fly fishing. And yesterday, we were going to go sail on Utah Lake. And they're like, this kind of may fall through. So what about jet skis? Like, you know what? Fine. Jet skis. And then the kind folks over at Explore Utah Valley are like, what if jet skis with Cosmo? Come to find out that we know of in the history of Cosmo's existence, which is that the anthropomorphic cougar has been around for a long time, he's never jet skied. That we can find, never jet skied. Yeah. So this was just a moment in history.
They don't like getting wet.
No. Yeah. I thought, wow, we're asking a lot of Cosmo, right?
So did you get to see the Cosmo with the abs?
He definitely had the abs, and then he had the built-in abs into his life jacket as well. And so when they first told me, this was about 1 p.m. yesterday, they got the all clear, and we're on the lake at 4. And when they first told me, you're jet skiing with Cosmo today, it's just full body chills. This was,
you're the only person that can say this.
Ever in the history of the world that I've jet skied with Cosmo.
We're glad you survived.
They had to tell him to slow down. They were like, dude, this is a lot of jet skiing, Cosmo. You're really ripping it right now.
When he's got fire, everything is Cosmo, just hang on.
It was incredible. Together. So we crossed paths a few times and did a few cool tricks, and I was insanely impressed with Cosmo's jet ski ability for his first time.
Good.
Nice.
Good. Hey, last year, you were one of the ones early high on BYU.
Yeah.
And they go 11-2, finish ranked 13th in the country. Now we swing back around for the encore, or will it be an encore? What do you think of BYU coming in?
So I feel very strongly about BYU and their ability to win. Keanu Tanavasa coming in from the transfer portal, a couple of transfer portal additions that mix in with senior-laden guys who know BYU, understand BYU. We mentioned that a lot with the Cougars and even Kalani Sitake, their ability to retain these fourth, fifth-year guys, a Chase Roberts that right. comes back as a massive leader in the locker room. And I thought, like Ben Bywater, that situation last year, where you're like, oh, how devastating midseason. You're not going to have that kind of leadership out there consistently. And this year it feels like even with that situation, BYU goes and wins.
Yeah.
You know, that's the next man up mentality. And so for BYU this season, the reason I stay high on them, despite, going through now having a quarterback battle and now seeing three guys who will duke it out, is that over the last decade, what Kalani Sitake has instilled, the consistency, the ability to take those older guys and have them bring up a McKay Hillstead or Bear Bachmeier or Trayson, that is what's going to be the difference for BYU, I think, this year, is the leadership in that locker room that's been brought in, the leadership that's been there, and Kalani Sitake being at the front of it. And then, obviously, you can't say BYU without saying Jay Hill in that defense.
Yeah,
right. The defense, it doesn't matter who plays what offensively for BYU if the defense does what they did last season in games like Kansas State or Colorado. You see that again in 12 games for BYU, they're in a very good spot.
You see him as a contender?
I do. Yeah. I still do. And I don't know, I mean, BYU would have to lose two or three foundational guys defensively to not be a contender. And I look at Utah across the way. I go 40 minutes away and say, that offensive line for Utah, you start to pick out things in the Big 12 and say, man, really good O-line at Utah, hard not to contend with a good O-line.
Yeah.
Really good defense at BYU, hard not to contend with a great defense. Really good quarterback at Arizona State or at Baylor, really hard not to contend when that's in your in-house. And that's why I think BYU is going to be so good this year, is the defense can carry them, and that offense still has plenty of weapons. I mentioned Chase Roberts.
Yeah.
He's going to be a guy, LJ Martin. They're going to be guys. You give them the football on 20, 30, 40, 50% of your downs. And if you do, good things will happen.
Yeah, that's why I think that regardless of how the quarterback situation plays out going into, the amount of weapons around
right.
the quarterback is insanely elite. So we've got Drake Toll from Locked On Big 12 joining us. Let's talk a little bit about the conference in general.
Yeah.
And one of the big storylines last year was what Arizona State did, picked last, and then you win the conference. Who do you think could be this year's Arizona State? Now, we won't have a preseason poll, obviously.
Correct.
No.
Right. Of course not. Why would we ever have
that? No, we don't want to look bad after the
right.
fact. But who do you think has the potential to make that type of leap?
Call me crazy. And I am. But you asked me who can go from 16-1.
Okay.
And, you start to mention the Arizonas, the West Virginias, the UCFs, who are picked to be down there. I think we could look up in 3 years and say, Willie Fritz might be the best coach in this conference.
Going with Houston.
He has been a winner at every stop. Even just a couple years at Georgia Southern, goes to Tulane, a really struggling Tulane program, and turns them into a Cotton Bowl champion against Lincoln Riley and USC. Now Willie Fritz is in the Big 12, and he's got access at Houston, just signed a five-star quarterback, access at Houston, some of the best recruiting in the country. Hey, if you want to play in front of grandma every weekend, and you're from just down the road in Spring, Texas, come do it. Play at Houston. And NIL is getting better there. Willie Fritz being a good old ball coach, I think he's still got it. Now, he's one of the older coaches in the Big 12. Probably got 5 to 7 years left in this conference if things go the natural cycle of a coach. And I think in those 5 to 7 years, he has the opportunity to build something very special at Houston. Connor Wegman, if he's as good as Willie Fritz said he is at Big 12 Media Days, which is the job of the head coach to say that about your quarterback. But if that's the case, Houston could be a 9-3 team this season. We all look around and go, huh, It was just that Drake was the only guy preseason saying that. I think Houston could be that.
I think you will be the only guy. Maybe. We have this recorded.
You remember last year, too. Yeah. Houston gave BYU fits
right
in that last game. Their defense was elite. They were missing the offensive pieces.
They
but
beat
very,
Utah.
Yeah, they beat Utah in Houston.
They beat TCU.
Yes.
They were very surprising to a lot of people. I think Houston could be that team that takes the next step up and finishes 8-4, 9-3.
Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, says two teams are going to get in into this college football playoff. You think two can get in, or will it be another one?
Two is brutal. Two is brutal in this conference. And
you've got to be in the top. You have two in the top 12.
Right. A big piece of why it's so brutal is we see a college football playoff committee and metrics that do favor conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten. For the Big 12 this season, you're going to have not a perfect storm, but a very advantageous storm of your Big 12 championship game features a couple of 11-1 teams. Your Big 12 championship game features 12-0 versus 11-1, or 10-2 versus 12-0, and that 10-2 team gets the win. It's going to take 11 or 12 wins. I think we learned that last season in the regular season. BYU taught us that. It's going to take 11 or 12 wins in the regular season to punch your ticket from the Big 12 to the college football playoff. And that's really tough to ask a team to do when we saw some of our most elite teams in this conference, like an Arizona State, fail to hit that metric in the regular season. BYU at 10-2 failed to hit that 11 or 12 win metric. That's what it's going to have to be. And I just, in a league where Kansas can go on the road and beat BYU, it's hard to bring it up, right? In a league where that can happen any given week because of the depth of the league, it's hard. It's hard to think that two are guaranteed.
Yeah. Who are the two teams that you see in Arlington?
Right now I have BYU and Texas Tech. And the reason being, those are the two teams that I think poured the biggest investment in the offseason to retention and then, I'll put it this way, retention, addition by subtraction in a few areas, and positive attrition. So those two kind of go hand in hand with you lost a few players that ultimately you either won't miss in the locker room or you can replace with someone else who's behind them and hungry. And at Texas Tech, their portal class, number one in the country for a lot of different outlets, that portal class coming in is going to create competition. At BYU, now in the quarterback room, you have competition. And what competition breeds is a better football team. You don't have to have a transfer that walks in day one and starts. You need a transfer that walks in day one, looks at the third-year guy, and says, I'm going to make you better. Right. It's between one of us. I use the Baylor example. Daquan Finn last year was their big heavy hitter in NIL, the MAC player of the year, comes in and gets the job over Sawyer Robertson, who's been there for a couple of seasons. And if I'm Sawyer Robertson, I mean, I'm devastated. I'm defeated. He keeps working. By week four, he's the starter, leads Baylor to an 8-win year. You know, that's the kind of stuff the Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech, will see at the very top of these contenders. I think a Texas Tech-BYU matchup in Arlington would be incredible.
Well, and we're going to get a preview of that because BYU heads to Lubbock this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite part is trying to – when I first sat down, I was like, you know, these are the two that I really think – and then they play each other. But again, that's where if you're Brett Yormark, your scenario is 12-0, 11-1. Yeah. 12-0, 10-2.
So Kansas State and Iowa State start practice next week. They play early over in Ireland in a league game on the 23rd. So what's more important in that game? For those two teams to show the rest of the country that will all be watching that the Big 12 is this big and you need to watch us all year long, or is it just the winner gets a boost and the loser, you know, like with Florida State, they never recovered from losing that game last year?
What's so odd is I think the most important storyline of this whole game is butts in seats. We as the conference need to pack out a stadium in Ireland. We need to go to Dublin and prove that this league can travel across the world to watch college football. That Farmageddon is an established rivalry in the Big 12. Both coaches talked at length about that at Big 12 Media Days. And moreover, when it comes to the gameplay, I really do believe that the school that loses game one, week zero, overseas, has taken themselves out of the Big 12 championship race. And that's that may be a crazy statement to some, but you think about the wear and tear of going overseas, the pomp and circumstance of the last year and a half of making it happen, and the coaches going, well, we hate losing a game, a rivalry game in proximity of both schools. And then you go lose that first one, considering yourself a conference contender, to be able to rebound from that, go into non-conference play, have a successful non-conference, forget it, and go again 10-2 or 11-1, which is what it may take to go to the Big 12 title in this conference. That it's a big setback that both these teams are taking a very admirable risk to do in Dublin.
Right. Well, as if the Locked On Big 12 wasn't keeping you busy enough, then jet setting around to Utah and jet skiing with Cosmo, you are also part of one of, if not the biggest, traveling show in sports and entertainment with the Savannah Bananas.
So that's where the perm comes from, actually. That's where it's not the natural hair. The ladies keep asking. It is not. But it's something, man. I was hired 2 years ago to be the party animals broadcast entertainer, front office with the bananas.
And the
broadcast.
Party animals are like the Washington Generals facing the Globetrotters, right?
Craziest part, though. The party animals are 32-18 this season. The bananas are 25-23.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So what it creates is, if you go to Savannah Bananas game, you go to three. You've been to three and you've never seen them win. I mean, you bought a lottery ticket that the Generals beat the Globetrotters, right? And so the competition that's been created here, we've added two new teams, the Texas Tailgaters and the Firefighters. And now with four, we just saw in Richmond, Virginia, the Tailgaters and the Firefighters sell out 18,000 people.
Crazy.
Two teams that most people in the country haven't heard of yet, right? And because they're associated with the Bananas and Banana Ball, they're seeing exponential growth. The Party Animals have their own 22-game headline tour this year. 200,000 tickets have been sold just to see the Party Animals sans the Savannah Bananas. So I think that's where the growth, where you see the growth and kind of the separation of what the Globetrotters did. And, man, from Fenway, signing the Green Monster at Fenway, to 81,000, watching Dabo Swinney run down the hill with the Savannah Bananas, right?
Yeah.
To even the over 200 cities and venues that have reached out about Banana Ball next year, some of the biggest venues in the world, some of the smallest venues in the world.
They have captured something.
They've done it. It's incredible. Yeah. And you walk in as a 7-year-old or a 77-year-old, and there's something magical about it. Yeah. You get this 3-hour show where you go, wow, that's something that sports at the highest level is missing. It feels a lot like a BYU Saturday. It feels a lot like a game day in Provo. It's just got this wholesome feel to it. It's like you walked away from the greatest wedding you've ever been to. That's usually how I feel after a BYU game.
Which also happens a lot here in Provo.
They do. A lot of weddings.
Well, we know you're super busy, a lot going on. We appreciate you carving out a few minutes to join us. Drake, it was awesome. It's the first time I had a chance to meet you, so it was nice to meet you, but appreciate you joining the show today.
Yeah, always. I came here for that Baylor-BYU game in 22, yeah. that missed field goal game, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. And fell in love with everything about this place, and just an honor to always be back.
Well, we appreciate it, and for those who want to follow you, where can they follow you?
Yeah, at Locked On Big 12 on Twitter, at Drake C. Toll if you like the worst tweets, and then at Drake C. Toll on any other platforms.
Great.
There we go. Appreciate it. Drake Toll from Locked On Big 12.
Look forward to seeing you back here this fall.
Oh, that holy war, you know where I'll be.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Hey, if you missed any of our interviews, they're always on demand for you at BYUSN.com.
Up next, two BYU track and field athletes have been nominated for the Big 12 Athlete of the Year. Plus, the latest update to the BYU basketball non-conference schedule. That and much more coming up in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Studio B. He's Dave, I'm Jason, and these are headlines.
Let's get to basketball. Cal Baptist announcing yesterday they're coming to town, only not Provo. They're coming to Salt Lake City. They'll play BYU at the Delta Center on December 3rd with the addition of Cal Baptist. Here's what it looks like in the non-conference. Those first two games are exhibitions, Nebraska and North Carolina in October, and then you see the lineup. There's some heavyweights in there mixed in with some Delawares, Eastern Washingtons, Holy Cross, Pacific, some of those dates still TBD, but we think this is the non-conference slate.
James Corrigan and Lexi Halliday-Lowry are BYU's male and female nominees for Big 12 Athlete of the Year. That was announced by the conference yesterday. Corrigan won the NCAA Steeplechase Championship, and Halliday-Lowry was the fastest collegiate American in the indoor 3,000 and 5,000 meters.
I'm still disappointed you didn't win that year.
No one is saying I'm the fastest at anything.
Seven BYU track and field athletes named CSC Academic All-Americans. On the men's side, Trey Jackson, first team. Second teamers, Ben Barton, Casey Klinger, and third team, Joey Noakes. On the women's side, Megan Hunter, first team. Jenna Hutchins, second team. Marin Garnett, third team. Congratulations to everyone.
Right, Summer League continues. Yegor Dioman did not play last night for the Brooklyn Nets Summer League team against the Knicks. He is expected to play tonight when Brooklyn faces the Orlando Magic at 7:30 Eastern time, and you can check it out on NBA TV.
Former Cougar star Gabby Garcia Fernandez helped Team USA to a three-set sweep over Turkey at the Volleyball Nations League in Japan. Garcia led Team USA with 15 points, 13 kills, and two aces. Team USA plays Argentina tomorrow.
And BYU women's basketball announced the promotion of Dallin Hux to director of video and strategy. Hux started working with the team in 2020 and has worked as a manager and a grad assistant. He also recently got married.
Congrats.
So congratulations. I'm proud of my man, D. Hux. All right, after the break, The Athletic's Chris Vanini breaks down why he believes the Big 12 has an argument to be the toughest conference in America. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to Studio B. Jason Shepherd and Dave McCann with you here on BYU Sports Nation. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark likes to reference the Big 12 as being the deepest conference in America. Well, The Athletic's Chris Vanini spoke with our very own Spencer Linton at Big 12 Media Days on why he believes the Big 12 has a case to be made that it is the deepest, and not just the deepest, but maybe the toughest conference in America.
Chris, I mentioned this to you this morning, but you've gone BYU viral again by posting a tweet saying that as you talk to BYU opponents, a lot of the players mentioned Provo as a weirdly friendly place to go and that they look forward to going there. How long did it take you to gather that information before you put it out on social media?
Yeah, so we're just asking a lot of players a bunch of different things kind of about the conference, and that was one of the questions. And we got quite a few people who said BYU, and that fans were saying good luck to them. Players said they were weirdly nice. They said fans stuck around and cleaned up the garbage after the game, and they had not experienced that at all. One player, I don't remember who it was exactly yet, said it was the worst place for whatever reason, but it was everyone else was the complete opposite end of it. So apparently players enjoyed going to BYU.
So everybody but one said it was mostly a weirdly nice place. BYU and Utah were also recently featured in The Athletic talking about the greatest rivalries, but the Utes and Cougars are not featured in the top 25 of said list. You didn't write that, but one of your cohorts. So how do you view that BYU-Utah rivalry dynamic in the grand scheme of the greatest rivalries in college sports?
It's certainly up there. It depends. Everybody kind of has their own criteria on how to evaluate it. It's a game that hasn't had a lot of top 25 matchups, for example. But there is a lot of, obviously, hatred and stuff like that. So how do you kind of balance those two? And everybody kind of does it a little bit differently. I know Scott put a ton of work into. He had so many spreadsheets and months of data he'd been compiling on it. I know Utah and BYU fans were not happy about it, and that's fine. That's the point of the list. You know, we don't make the list for everybody to say it's a great list. You know, I rank every college football team, and nobody ever says that. So everybody just kind of has their own thing, but it's certainly up there. I think we saw what happened at the end of last year's game was another example of that. I'm glad it's back. I'm glad they're in the same conference here and this game is happening and that the Big 12 protects it as one of the rivalries. So it's certainly right up there.
You've never had an angry fan tweet at you, right?
Never. You know, I rank all, it'll be 136 teams now every Sunday during the season, and just comes with the territory. And you expect that. And especially on social media, I know BYU fans are vocal.
Speaking of rankings, there's no preseason poll for the Big 12. But again, you rank all 136 teams, not just in the Big 12, but across all of Division I football. Where does BYU currently sit in the Chris Vanini rankings, both in the Big 12 and nationally, with the quarterback room in question?
I haven't done it yet because they didn't ask us this year, so I hadn't actually gone through the whole thought process yet. But I'll put the whole rankings together probably early August. But a lot of it just kind of weighs on Jake Fretzleff's status. It seems like he's probably not going to be back. If he was, you know, I had BYU right up there, Arizona State right up there, Kansas State. There's like three or four teams. Yeah. You can tell by the betting odds. Like, there's no clear favorite for this conference. And it's not that there isn't somebody who could win. There's a lot of really good teams that bring a lot back. And BYU was one of them. The quarterback's going to be potentially a major question mark now. And it may just take a couple of games of figuring out who that is and how that's going. And that's one of the reasons why the Big 12 didn't want to do the poll. Arizona State was picked last by us last year, and that probably hurt their perception going in. And so I understand the conference doing that, especially in this conference, because everybody's so close. There's not that much of a difference between 1 and 10. And so it's going to be hard to pick.
Along with the parity of the Big 12, what makes covering this conference the most intriguing for you as a college football insider and reporter?
Well, it's every game, anything can happen. There was a four-way tie atop the conference last year. You know, we went into, you know, I'm at Texas A&M last year, and after the game, we have to keep watching some of the late Big 12 games because it's going to impact the tiebreaker of who's going to get to play in the championship game, because the conferences are so big and we don't have divisions anymore that we have weird tiebreakers determining things. So many different factors go into it. But, like, I don't even know who's going to be last picked last this year, maybe Houston, but like even Houston had some big wins last year. So like we saw what Kansas did the second half of the season after they had a slow start. So there really is no off weeks, and I know it's a cliche, but top to bottom, especially you look at the bottom, I think this is the strongest conference in the country. Now, that's not necessarily good for the Big 12 because you need a couple of teams to emerge and get in that playoff contention. But depth-wise, it's incredible.
All right, we'll finish with this. Speaking of the college football playoff, if you're choosing your desired format and making any tweaks, I've heard all conferences need to play the same number of games, whether it's 8 or 9, and some other factors that go into it, 16 teams, 5 AQs plus 11. What would Chris Vanini do with the college football playoff format?
I'd leave it the way it is. I thought 12 was great. I thought the first round byes were great. I thought everything worked out well. And we got that cutoff point where, like, did 3-loss Alabama have to be in the playoff? Not really. I think it was pretty clear there's, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 teams in a given year that can win the national championship. You threw a couple more spots on top of that. If we go to 16 or 14, you're going to have even more teams with a debate to get in. I don't like the auto bid stuff. I think it's very confusing for everybody, but we're probably going to have, we might have 4 different playoff formats in 4 years going from what, 23 to 26. I don't think that's good for the sport either to keep changing. I thought 12 was great. It made the regular season matter more. It made your conference championship matter. Further expansion is just going to kind of water that down, but ultimately every conference has to do what's best for them, and the ones that are in charge are trying to do that.
Plenty to write about, no doubt about it, and keeping you busy. Do you like the tweak to do the playoff with the 12 teams in a general straight order with the conference champions not getting the first 4 seeds?
I get why they did it. I didn't like it because I'd like the conference championship to mean something. And I think moving forward now, conference championship is not going to mean nearly as much. Yeah. And maybe we're already there. Like Georgia, Texas, did they need to play that game? And Carson Beck gets hurt. You know, it's like maybe we're already at that point, but, you know, I grew up where conference championship was the number one goal. And especially taking away the advantage of those byes, it's not going to happen anymore. Now I get it. All the teams that got the byes lost, so maybe it wasn't an advantage in the end. But it's just more of a shift of the most important thing in the sport is the playoff, and I don't think that's good.
We love your insight and your perspective and some unique perspectives at that. Look forward to your 1 through 136 rankings coming out in early August. And, again, remind BYU fans how they can find your great work.
Yeah, on The Athletic, I know people didn't like the ranking of the rivalry, but I did put the Holy War rivalry as the number 4 best rivalry nickname. I know the schools don't love using that name. It's unofficial or whatever, but I very much enjoy it.
Chris, we appreciate the time. A man of the people.
Good to be here.
We enjoy men of the people and women of the people.
You're a man of the people.
Sometimes. So are you. For more interviews from Big 12 Football Media Days, go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel and get all our content on demand.
Coming up, who do you believe is BYU football's X Factor in 2025? We'll get to your answers to our question of the day next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, who's your X Factor for BYU football in 2025? On X from @CoronadoZach says the new starting quarterback.
Hey, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
Whatever it is.
And right now that's all we can say, the new starting quarterback. We don't know who that's going to be. Also on X, @SpenceTaxGeek. I wonder if that's Spencer's burner account.
It could be.
If the O-line is great, it doesn't matter who the QB is. So going with the offensive line as a position group.
Okay.
All right, in response, our lead voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated.
Jackson _Zumwalt on X, LJ Martin. If he's a 1,000-yard rusher, I don't think it matters who the quarterback is because I trust Roderick and Fessy to have the quarterback become an elite game manager.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Former BYU soccer star Ashley Hatch announcing her pregnancy on social media yesterday. Congratulations to Ashley and Jeff. And I believe BYU's ready to sign.
Coach Rockwood is ready.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever that is to a scholarship here.
Great news.
Also, a shout-out to Texas BYU alums and the great folks in the Lone Star State dealing with all kinds of stuff. So I wear the I wore the Texas shirt as a show of solidarity.
And your mission, yeah, your mission was right in there.
And right here in the middle of where all the flooding is in Kerrville and everything. And we're praying for you and for better days ahead.
Absolutely. Our thanks to today's guests, Chris Vanini and Drake Toll.
Conversation continues 24/7, Instagram, X, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to J.D. Falslev. We'll see you tomorrow, noon Eastern, for more BYUSN. Go Cougs!